Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. I hope everybody's holiday season is off to a great start, and in preparation for the new year, we're about to engage in a very interesting dialogue that you might not necessarily expect from a career show, but I think it's going to give us all a lot of insights into how to find that dream job. Today in studio, I have joining me Dr. Dow. Dr. Dow, thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure to be here, and I wish everybody a very happy holiday.
Thank you so much. Well, for those of you who might not be familiar with Dr. Dow, he is a licensed acupuncturist in the state of California and is a diplomat of Chinese herbology, NCCA. Dr. Dow has been active in the TCM profession as well as various other professional organizations. He was an examiner for the California Acupuncture Committee and also participated in the Chinese herbology exam development for NCCA. He's extremely well-known and respected for his special interest in reproductive and gynecological conditions and is also a member of the American Society for Reproductive Medicine. In addition, I was pretty blown away by this, Dr. Dow has four different degrees, including an MBA from Pepperdine, a PhD from Samra University of Oriental Medicine, an OMD, which deals with Oriental Medicine degree from Samra University, and a BS from Samra University as well. And the reason I wanted to invite Dr. Dow to be a guest on the show today, apart from his many accolades, including appearing on the Today Show and, the Donnie and Marie Show and KTLA, among many other places, is he specializes in understanding elements. And the five elements that we have as human beings available to us can really help give us insights into what career path would be right for us or how that element can help us be successful or what elements we might need to utilize more so. So before we talk a little bit about the elements and how you can find out what your element is and how they play into your career, Dr. Dow, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your history and how you came to study Chinese medicine?
Oh, you're most kind. I guess when you're born, you never know what you really wanted to do. I was born in a family that has a rich lineage of traditional Chinese medicine. My father is a doctor of Chinese medicine. My grandfather is a doctor of Chinese medicine. I did not know at the very beginning I was, had become the 38th generation practitioner.
38th?
Yes.
Wow.
It's a little bit long. Generation practitioner, I really have no idea what that really means, but I really enjoyed learning about Chinese medicine, especially the foundation, the philosophical underpinning of the medicine is very rich. And it's not about that you can apply some of these principles into medicine. You can also apply into your everyday life, as well as business, as well as management, as well as many different aspects of what you do as in your daily life. So and these elements, for example, we call it yin and yang. We first learn about yin and yang principles, and then we move forward to the five elements, and these are some of the things that I learned. So and throughout my career, I am foremost a clinician. I really enjoy taking care of my patients, helping them in different situations and challenges in their health, in their sickness. Eventually, I specialized in reproductive medicine and women's health situations. And my patient has been very kind and very good to me. I have the opportunity to take care of them and kind of be their health advisor and be their coach to help them through their issues of not being able to get pregnant, miscarriages, and pregnancy support. Situation of women's health issues, and not at least menopausal issue, which I see a lot more these days. So these are kind of things that I do deal with clinically. And it's very interesting enough, whatever you learn and what you see in treating patients, you start to identify that there are different elemental people. So you can identify the disease, you know, this person's going to be more prone to, say, cough. This person's going to be more prone to yeast infection. This person's going to be more prone to pain, dysmenorrheas and pelvic pains. This person's going to be more prone to dryness. So they are all different unique five elemental principles you can see in a physical body. But interesting enough, that same principle can be applied into personality, into basically attributes in a sense of experience and skill sets. Those are kind of things that you could actually identify. So so being a clinician, that is something that I do. And also at the beginning, my family founded Yosan University. And my brother, Dr. Mao Xinli, and I, we worked many years side by side in getting the university up to ground. So I have been the dean. I've been the president, and I've been the board of trustees, and now a department chair for the integrative women's health and reproductive medicine in the doctorate degree program at Yosan University. So I have seen a lot, and I've hired quite a few people in my life, and so and I enjoy working with people. I believe it's not about hiring people; it's about being together. There is a certain sense of your path is supposed to cross.
I love that
with that person, and when the path cross, you do whatever you can to work together to get the energy melding, get the energy to work together. And I think that's the most beautiful part of being able to work with somebody.
Awesome. And so that ties into a little bit about what we're going to talk about, which is the infinite chi system. And for those of our listeners out there who might not be familiar with chi, correct me if I'm wrong, doctor, is chi is energy, correct?
That's correct. if you look at in Chinese language, chi is energy. And that energy can be different kind of energy. It could be an energy of doing the work. It could be energy of the universe. It could be the energy from the volcano. It could be energy from the ocean. For nature, for example, it could be energy from our human body. It could be energy of personality. Mm. Certain personality kind of shine or express a certain type of energy. So sometimes, you know, in Western world, we say this person has certain personality.
Right.
In kind of like in the Chinese way of saying that, we don't actually use the word personality for sake. We actually use the word energetics.
Oh,
we use the word the chi. What's this person's chi like?
So it's, if your chi is better, that's a good thing? Or how is chi defined?
It's not better. It's more, what's
on,
the
it
chi?
It has to be better. I'm a Western society gal.
Yeah, I think the Western society is very decisive. This has got to be good, and that's got to be bad.
Exactly.
When you start to create that, you start to create a problem. That creates extreme. That creates divisions.
Ah.
So I think in some ways, there's certain things, when something is bad, but in certain contexts, that bad thing may be a good thing. And when something is good in certain contexts, it may not be so good. So I think it's more of a context is how we carry ourselves in the world and in different situations. You require different tools and require different decision makings.
Interesting. Okay. So for our listeners out there who might not be familiar with the five elements, can you highlight for our listeners what the five elements are?
Yes. In the early days, you could say we can go back 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. The very early days in the tribal eras of China at that time, there is a wonderful, wonderful, shall we say, progenitor of Chinese culture. We just call it the Yellow Emperor. Mm. And the Yellow Emperor was a tribal leader at that time. And at that time, he really observed nature along with his, he became, quote unquote, a tribal leader for several tribes and unified China, even though at that time China is very, very small. It's all conjugated in the Yellow River area. But anyway, what he was able to do is he started to classify the world around him into five elements. And these elements are basically element of wood, element of fire, element of earth, element of metal, and the element of water. These are the elements that actually permeates into everything we do. So it's not just looking at matters, not just looking at in the sense of, oh, okay, this is a metallic subject, or this is a wood subject, this is a tree, that's a wood element. But you can also use that element, start looking at every single phenomenon in the world. So seasons, for example.
Okay.
There are seasons, there's a five elemental season. The spring is the wood element.
Hmm.
The summer is basically the fire element.
Oh.
And the late summer, the what we call the Indian summer, frequently we call that the earth element. And when you get into the autumn, the fall, well, Los Angeles never had winter.
Not
so
that
you
we
could
have
say,
seasons.
Yeah, you could say autumn in Los Angeles, it's basically it's a metal element. And then when we have winter, that's the water element. So you can see phenomenon can also classify into these five elements. Now, personalities and work, you know, the certain position of a work can also be defined as elements. For example, if you're in something that requires a lot of decisiveness and really have to cut through things really quickly and deal with things in a very quick manner, and there is no time to even give some any thought, that's what we call the metal element job, for example. Then there are situations that requires dominance and in control. And
that's, I think that one's me.
I think all of us have some part of that. And that is basically, and you know, that might be very interesting that as a doctor, you would think my job is really dominant and control. Not really. In some ways, I have to really be poised and reserved. Sometimes I got to be easygoing and I have to be tactful and diplomatic. I also need to be witty at the same time. So a lot of times you really are assessing different elements in your job in certain things, but there are particular jobs that require certain things. For example, accountant. You know, if you're somebody who is doing bookkeeping or accounting requires precision and accuracy in your numbers, you need to hire somebody who is controlling and dominating with those numbers.
Mm.
And that's what you need in those situations, for example.
Okay, and so the different elements. So we have fire, water, earth, metal, and what was the fifth
wood.
One? Wood. That's right. And so can you be all five? Do we have a dominant one? Does that change throughout your life? I just threw three questions at you, but I don't want to miss any of them. They're so interesting.
I think in our life, all of us possess a certain attribute of each element, okay? But there is always very simply a dominant one.
Okay.
Dominant one. So, for example, if we look at, let's say, in a work situation with a group, there's a question, say, I tend to be what? You can be dominant in control, or you can be witty and talkative, you can be tactful and diplomatic, or you can be poised and reserved, or you can be easygoing and subtle. Now, all those five areas, there's no way you can possess all of them.
I can try,
at one
though.
Given time, right? You can try. But what's going to happen is that there's going to be one that particularly
stands out,
expresses. So that is something that tells me which element you really express, which element you behave in, okay? Which element you live in, okay? So all of us has a much more dominant tendency of one element. Now, as we go through life, that can change. As we go through life experience and even trauma sometimes can change us on how we look at the world. So a lot of times it could really change. For example, I can give you an idea. When I was a student, I'm meticulous. I mean, I am so detail-oriented. I even have a schedule to the T to like within a minute of what I'm supposed to do in the summer, in a certain summer times. And that's very controlling. Okay, that was in my teens, in my 20s. But as I become into the 40s, into the early 50s, I can tell you right now, my life has changed. The way I see the world change. So that tendency that I have is actually decreasing.
Mm.
And I'm taking on different elements now. So it used to be you would say I'm a wood element person. But now, in my days now, when I take these assessment of myself and how I behave in the world, I'm actually more water element, for example.
Interesting. And water would now, so from a looking at the element as what the element actually is, you look at wood and you think of wood as being hard, stubborn, unyielding. And then you look at water as being fluid, movable, malleable. Would you say that's true of the actual characteristics of the elements?
Yes. If you look at like the tree and you can understand, you know, you hit a tree and you know, you're going to get hurt. But water, you know, the water element embraces you.
Got it.
You can hit the water. Water just kind of yields away from you and embraces you at the same time.
Interesting. Okay, so what you're saying is that it's not that you're born a certain element or that one element is good or bad or right or wrong, but perhaps the end goal is to be in balance with all elements and be able to pull from them when you need. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, and but also it's okay to have a certain tendency because that's your personality, and that's beautiful the way it is. But I think it's important to see whether or not that element you have workable for kind of job you're doing.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So what elements are good for what jobs, and how can you tell which element you are?
Well, I mean, you know, in a legal profession, for example.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I think you have to be tactful and diplomatic. And that is an earth element trait. And so I think to start with, having a good, solid earth element trait to begin with, it's a very nice element to start. Okay, and that's an element that you want to draw. Now, you know, in the legal profession, you have many different specialties.
Yes.
Right? So having a tactful and diplomatic situation when you're litigating sometimes
might not work.
May not work. And easygoing and subtle, that's definitely not going to work because a water element, if you're a litigator, and so, I mean, you know, you really want to go to the wood element and fire element where you are dominant in control. You want to be witty. You want to be talkative. You want to get going in those situations if you're a litigator, for example. But if you are a divorce attorney,
you might have to have more of the earth element and be a little bit more compassionate.
Exactly. Exactly. So therefore, you see that it all really depends on the job you have, what you're trying to accomplish, what's your objective, and that requires a different elemental energy. And all of us have the capability, and some more than the other, of course, but all of us has the capability to draw some of those traits out.
So what would happen, for example, let's say we went to the example of an accountant earlier. Theoretically, you would want somebody who's very meticulous and very detailed and is not going to miss a thing. But what if you put an earth element person or, say, a fire element person into an accountant job? How would that manifest in their lives, or what would that look like?
That's going to be problematic. I mean,
<Uh-oh>.
you got a fire element person who is witty and talkative, while the person will just won't spend the time looking at the numbers. I mean, if you have a managing accountant, if you're somebody who is a manager, well, that's a different story. Then you need those traits. But if you're somebody who is working with numbers whole day long and that's all you do, then you may want to have that wood element. That wood element is dominant, is in control, is meticulous, is making sure all the details are not to be missed. That is the element that you want. You want to have that kind of person. Now, but, you know, a lot of times, sometimes we get promoted. So when we get promoted and you know whatever you were able to do as an accountant, that trait and that that experience you have may not translate into managing somebody. You know, that's a totally different kind of ballgame when you start managing somebody. That requires you to draw out different traits that you probably that you had it before but never really expressed or never used. And so that's the time where you can say, hey, you know, I got to retrain. I got to rethink. I got to refigure out what I need to do a good job with a new job description I'm having.
So what I'm hearing you say, it sounds like, is that it's not the end of the world if you're somebody who is a dominant element in one job that might not be the right job for that element. Now, here's a question, though, before I get into that. Could that manifest in health issues? Like, if somebody is in a job that is not in line with their element and they're not working on expanding themselves into that new element that they're going to need to embrace, can that manifest in anxiety, depression, different issues?
Well, there's such thing as you're in the wrong job.
I think a lot of my listeners would agree with that.
You know, if you're in the wrong job, you need to evaluate, hey, you know, maybe it's not the job that is bad. It's I'm in the wrong place. I think a lot of times you need to first, I'm self-reflective in the sense I usually ask myself that question. Am I in the right place? Mm-hmm. That's the first question. This job requires me of these skill sets and these attributes and these type of thing that I have to do. Do I have it? Am I doing this job a disservice when I'm not witty, when I'm not talkative, when I'm not tactful, when I'm not diplomatic? Am I doing that job a service? If I'm not doing that job a service, I need to rethink about retraining myself. If I'm not willing to retrain myself, then I might be in the wrong job.
So how does one retrain? Say that you go online, and by the way, one of the great resources and tools that Dr. Dow and his brother have is infinichi.com. And correct me if I'm spelling this wrong. I think it's I-N-F-I-N-I-C-H-I, like the word chi, .com. And you can actually, for free, just take a little online test, and it'll tell you. I found it to be very spot on for me. It came back that I was wood. No surprise there. But it was really great. And so I would highly encourage our listeners to check that out just to kind of ascertain where they're at. And again, that's infinichi.com. But if you do know that you're not where you want to be in a certain element or something is out of balance, how do you go about retraining or rebalancing that element?
Well, I think there's a whole field of human resources courses you can take on that.
Tune in next week. No, just kidding.
Tune in next week, yes. But I think the very first thing is you got to ask yourself, I don't have those skill set. And be honest with yourself. I don't have those skill set. Am I willing to learn? That's a key. It starts there. Because you don't want to drag yourself through these classes and at the end of the day get resentful and don't really want to do it. I think the worst thing you can ever do is to do a job that you don't enjoy.
I completely agree.
I think there are companies who would give you money to quit if you don't want to do this job. Go ahead, we're going to pay you to leave.
Yeah.
And I think that makes sense in some ways. Why create such friction within yourself when you don't want to do it?
Unnecessarily, exactly.
Yes,
and
yes.
Life is too short. To all of our listeners out there, we spend 40 hours, sometimes more, a week. I just talked to a gentleman who his whole life has worked 2 40-hour jobs a week. And some people out there might work 100 hours a week. And hats off to you. But if you're doing it, at least be passionate and love it, you know?
Yeah, I think we all often say the luckiest person is the person that is happy with his or her job, right?
Right.
But it's not about whether or not you fit the job. A lot of time is what you actually bring to the job.
Well,
you see, that's actually the key.
Say more about that, please.
Well, you know, successful people, that's successful, is not because they inherently already has the attribute for the business they're doing. A lot of time they learn how to do their business. Okay, so there are jobs. For example, you could be a waste management company where you manage trash. Okay, I mean, I can tell you right now, those people who own those company may never in their a million years thinking they're going to grow up in managing trash. Right? They probably never thought about it. But what they did is that they really enjoy the ability to clean somebody's trash can, or that they really like the business of it, and they are able to make a wonderful job, a wonderful position, wonderful venture and opportunity for themselves to become successful. So a lot of times it's what you bring to the job.
I think I do see what you're saying because, for example, when I look at the areas that I'm lacking in, having taken the test, I can see that I'm a predominant, probably I would say, earth and wood, and I used to be more earth and then I've moved more into wood, which are kind of on opposite sides of the spectrum. But like you said, we all have a little bit of both. And I think the thing I had to learn in business was the metal side of sometimes, you know, being very exacting. And that wasn't in my nature. When I'm reviewing 100-page legal contracts, it takes a different side of me. But I taught myself how to do that. And I was willing to learn instead of just giving up and doing something else.
I think you possess two elements. If you look at the way when you evaluate, resumes or evaluate someone trying to help them to get a job. Number one, I think you're realistic.
Yeah.
But number two, you also are optimistic.
You have to
so
be.
You have to. So I think you have the elements of wood and fire at the same time.
Oh,
and if you look at the wood and fire element, that's a, what we call a growth element.
Huh.
It's growing. It's expanding. It's expanding your horizon. It's becoming bigger than who you are. And that's what you're trying to do when you are. And there's no different as a recruiter, as a manager, as a leader. What we're trying to do is we are asking people to become someone that's broader than who they are.
Hmm.
Okay. And that is beautiful because you help them to become successful. And their success is your success, ultimately. So in some ways, it's that you care. And the same thing as when I treat my patients is I can't do everything for them. If they have hepatitis and they need to stop drinking alcohol, I need to get on their side and figure out a way to get them to stop drinking that one bottle of wine every day,
oh, geez,
for example. And that's going to take more than just persuasion. Okay, that's going to take me figuring out ways to get into and helping this person really be able to change that on his or her own.
Hmm.
And it's going to come from them, even though I am facilitating the process.
So you're empowering them, and part of that requires the consultative skills, which might not be the same skills you would use when you're treating a disease or something of that nature.
Yes. So in some way, as a doctor, I see myself as a servant, as a way to facilitate. I play so many roles. I'm a coach. I can be a teacher. I can be a doctor. At the same time, I can do all sorts of things. But I think in certain different things, different situations, you play a different hat.
So to recap kind of for our listeners to understand better what each element is, I know we started to lightly touch on that. Can you go through each of the elements and the careers that if you say go online and you take the Infinity test, you can go, oh, maybe I'm thinking of making a career change. What are the places I should start?
Well, I think if you look at just like work situation with a group, how does a person come across? We often say someone who is dominant and in control, that's more like a wood element. I should not tell you this because this is in your quiz. But if you are really witty, you are almost like a comedian and you're talkative and you want to make sure everybody's always happy and you make sure you talk to every single person, that's a fire element. Okay. Or you are respectful, you're very tactful, you're diplomatic, you make sure you don't violate anybody's private space, and you really create a really nice boundary for that person and yourself. That's an earth element type of person. Or you might be poised and reserved, you know, kind of quiet, but everything you say is very to the point, concise and sharp. That is a metal element.
Okay.
You know, that's like a knife cutting through. Sharp, you don't need to use it, but when you use it, it cuts right through.
Mm.
Or the water element. Water element is flexible, is easygoing, is subtle. This person probably will just go along with anything that the group wants to do.
Those are the best.
You know, those are the best, but sometimes those are the people that when you need to make a decision, they are the one who shied away from it.
And if you had a room full of waters and you were trying to get anything done,
oh,
it might be a headache.
Yeah, that's going to be a big ocean.
I can totally see that. And so are there any careers for each of those elements that you would recommend that people might want to pursue or look into the opportunities?
I think my recommendation is go on the website and get yourself a quiz done and figure out what's your dominant element. And the dominant element does not mean that you don't want to change that, but just at least give you some idea where you are and who you are at this given point.
Frame of reference.
Frame of reference. And then you take a look at job you are in. Okay, if the job you are in is an element that doesn't really fit you, then you need to take a look at what you need to do to upgrade yourself, change yourself to fit the job. And maybe this is a job you don't want it to be in, then, you know, move on. But try not to get stuck. I think life, it's, as you were saying, is too short. Don't get stuck. You know, be reflective, think through it, and then move forward. Or that you might be unemployed at this time, and if you don't have a job venture at this time, take a look at what job that you're wishing to have, and take a look at what kind of skill set that job requires of you. Okay, and start to work on some of the attributes of that job that requires.
I love that. That's great.
For example, you may want to become, say, a leader position, leadership position, in a senior or mid-level leadership position. Then you're going to need to have some conversational and speech skills. Then you might be you might be somebody who's shy in front of people. Then you may want to start taking some speech class.
Toastmasters, absolutely.
Right? Toastmasters or Carnegie or whatever course that's out there that helps you to really become a confident speaker and conversationalist just being able to talk in front of people. For example, that you can start that. So a lot of times you want to start to really value your attribute and see if you can come up to that job.
I love that. And so what happens, it sounds like there are different aspects of personalities in each of these elements, and they might not always go together. I don't know if it's true of fire and water, say, hypothetically, but what happens if you wind up in a situation where your manager or your colleague is the opposite element from you? Is there still a way to create workability, or is that a situation you should remove yourself from?
Well, there is. I mean, if you think about it, we are mostly in a team situation now. I mean, we work as a team, and the structure of a corporate America, some structures are flattening. So what I mean is that you're having more teamwork and a little bit less of hierarchy. So in those situations in your team, you actually really need all the five elements. You need somebody who is realistic. You need somebody who is optimistic. You need somebody who is accommodating. You need somebody who is idealistic. And you need somebody who is a deep thinker. Okay, so you need all kind of five. And they all play a little bit of role. So in some ways, is that that's what you need. That's what you need in a company. That's what you need in the work division. So that everybody comes to the table with different kind of skill set in different situations.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. For example, my recruiting team that we have at my LA office, we are all very different. We all took the test, and I think two of us were wood, and there was a fire and a water, and so on and so forth. And what was great is we did one of those escape room games where you go in and you have to solve puzzles. And I was so grateful and proud of my team, because not only did we solve the puzzle, I think we had in an hour in 50 minutes, but we had so much fun doing it. And I think that if you're in a healthy team, I think that's the thing is, I'm sure, and you'll probably elaborate on this, there can be healthy or unhealthy traits in any element. And if you have five people who are balanced in a healthy way in those elements, then great, you might be able to collaborate together. But what happens if you get somebody who might be an earth or a fire and they're in an unhealthy balance? How does one reconcile that?
Well, there's always going to be in the workplace a difficult person.
Let's not create that. Knock on wood, I'm grateful. My team, we don't have any difficult people. I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think our audience have anybody that's difficult in the workplace.
Not.
Everybody's perfect.
Everybody's so nice
so
and friendly.
Nice. So nice. And you know, actually, it's a very interesting thing. Is one of my good friend, who is an ER doctor, and he actually is so good when there's emergency. He's so good. He is fast, sharp, quick. He can figure things out on the milliseconds. But when there's nothing going on, he falls asleep.
No.
He's bored. He's really bored. He actually needs chaos. There's some people thrive on chaos.
And what element is that?
Well, you know, the person that thrives on chaos actually is a little bit of fire.
I could see that.
A little bit of fire. They like a lot of fire going on at the same time. They enjoy that. They enjoy that attention. They enjoy that firework. And that's chaos. I mean, you know, you see it in all different facets of our life. You see it in academia, you see in politics, you see it in governing, you see it in business, you see that there are situations where chaos, there's some people thrives on chaos. These are the fiery person, and they probably would do well as a fireman.
So Dad, if you're listening, you chose the right career.
Because they can work under pressure. You can give them more pressure, they actually become calmer.
So I just had an interesting thought. So say you're in a situation in an office and you get two elements that are completely divergent, and one of the elements, say, is out of balance, and it's the other person. And of course, it's always the other person, right? It's never us. Would it be something that if you can ascertain that the person who you're in conflict with in the office is, say, a metal element, and you're missing that attribute in yourself, which perhaps could be causing the conflict. I'm not saying it is, but sometimes if we don't understand where somebody else is coming from, that could cause a conflict. Would it be something that you could take on if it was a job you liked and a team you liked to learn more about the water or the, say, metal element, whatever element it is you're in conflict with, and work on growing those skills in yourself? And would that then lessen the conflict?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you look at the metallic, the metal element is a decisive element. There are people who is afraid of make decisions.
Mm.
Not because they are afraid to make decisions, they are afraid to make mistakes.
Oh, got it.
Okay, that's where it really comes from. So you want to go back and counsel that person and listen. Say, why are you having difficulty, having issues making mistakes? Mistakes are to be made and that make you better. I get yelled at when I make mistake when I was a little kid. So I am now shy. I would not want to make any mistake. So for me not to make mistakes, sometimes it's just not doing. I just won't do. Okay, it's that paralyzed, that creates that paralysis. So a lot of times you have to help to help that person seize the reason why they're having the problem. And actually, you're gonna have to hold their hands to take the first leap.
Mm.
Okay, so what you want to start is giving them little things to start to make decisions. Okay, so a lot of time I have employee that doesn't like to make decisions. So I start them with little things. Like, for example, you know, I'm going to give you a budget on this little things. Can you, I mean, kitchen need to be clean. Okay, so here you have a budget of $50, whatever cleaning agent you want to do, figure out how to clean it. It's all yours. You know, something like very little projects. So get them started. And a lot of times they build confidence from it, and then that can actually grow. And that's how I do it with my employees, is start small. And then I help them to build confidence in decision-making, for example. And that will help them to come closer to that middle element that you need for that job that this person might have.
So somebody could grow into it. And what happens if you get somebody who's just stubborn or unwilling to work with a manager, say, such as yourself, or a manager in their company? How do you deal with that from a elemental standpoint?
Well, you know, a lot of times it's compliments. So a lot of time that person might have certain skill sets that you need for something else. I mean, manager does many different things, for example. So they might have a good skill set on dealing with people, but they have terrible skill sets on getting the report out on time, for example.
So true. I know someone like that.
So, I mean, so you look at it, you say, oh, God, I mean, you know, we are not perfect. Okay, we are not perfect. So you find ways to kind of compliment. So as I'm saying, you know, I sometimes have a manager, I have an assistant manager. The manager is really good in certain things. Assistant manager is good in certain things. And I make sure they compliment each other. And that really helps.
Interesting. So what I really hear you saying is it's looking for balance when you're hiring in your team. So I have a question for you. As a manager and somebody who obviously is running a university and owns the Dow of Wellness, which I'm going to do a quick plug right now. Dow of Wellness is the only reason I'm healthy and can travel the world. So thanks to Dr. Dow and his team. They have three offices in Pasadena, Santa Monica, and Newport, Santa Monica being the main office. They're the reason I'm healthy all the time. But when you're hiring for your own internal staff, if you notice that there's, say you have 50 people hypothetically on your team, and you notice that more than 50% of those people are a certain element, are you going to look naturally to hire other types of elements to balance out your team? Or is that not something that's a consideration for you?
Well, you can come across with two ways. Obviously, I'm somebody who always like to develop someone from within. So what that means is I'm going to create a training course or training program for that, my staff to acquire certain attributes of their area, for example. So that is always going to be my number one way of doing things. I believe in people, and I believe very much that, yes, there are people who has weakness in certain area, and you may not be able to get it perfect. And that's not what I'm looking for.
Got it.
I'm looking for... All I want you to do is take a few steps forward in this area. Okay, I don't need you to take 10 steps. Oh, I need you to take 2 to 3 steps. Okay, and that's good enough for me. Okay, so for example, that's what I do. And I evaluate whether or not a person is in the right job or not.
Mm.
You know, the person might not be in the right position. So, and I think you learn. I have made a lot of mistakes in my life.
You and me both.
With human resources. And you learn from it. And hopefully I'm wiser as time goes on.
Yeah, I think that's great, though, that you're giving people the chance to succeed, because I know one of the biggest mistakes I made as a manager in business years ago is somebody would disappoint me once, and then I would keep looking for them to disappoint me. But I like where your philosophy is coming kind of from a broader elemental perspective, is you're looking for them to take little steps, baby steps in the right direction, rather than punishing them for getting it wrong.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think you will find that this is all about development. All of us need to develop. All of us can learn new skills. All of us can become better every day. And that actually, I believe, is a purpose of a life, is to have a constructive life. My father often say is that if we have the opportunity, that we should always have a constructive life, be able to build on the experience we have and make our life better, in turn make our next generation better. That's how civilization can move forward.
I think that's beautiful. And on that note, Dr. Dow, I'm so grateful and happy you've had so many wonderful insights and thoughts and empowering words to share with our listeners out there. Are there any other pieces of wisdom that you'd like to leave our listeners with when it comes to evaluating their element or pursuing their ideal job?
Well, I think taking a quiz is going to be helpful. And when you find out which element you have the tendency toward, also take a look at your life. Take a look at whether or not there's a certain area of your life that you need to grow and develop. Are there certain things that you shied away from? There's certain things you're really trying to avoid or even escape. I think we need to really face our life, good or bad, because that's how you can really learn about your elements. And that's how you can be, now that's how you can have a more fulfilling future and fulfilling life. And I think that applies to any job you're in. So I'm going to remind you to bring your energy, bring your chi to your job.
I love that. That's great. So bring your energy, bring your chi to your job. And again, please do go to infinichi.com. And the website for the actual Tao of Wellness is T-A-O, which we found out earlier that was a misspelling when it was translated to English, but it stuck. So T-A-O of Wellness.com is where you can find out more information on the actual acupuncture doctors that you can see, including Dr. Dow. And there's a detox, I think you were telling me about, right? Isn't there an upcoming detox?
Yeah, there's
a detox retreat.
I think it's January, the weekend of January 15th, I believe.
Yeah, I think you told me it was January 14th and 15th.
Yes, and also for the university, if you're interested, look at university, Yosan University. That's yosan.edu, yosan.edu website. You can also take a look at it. I'm a department chair there. It's a wonderful university that teach professionals in traditional Chinese medicine.
That's terrific. And I really recommend their detox. Is a terrific weekend. I did a one-day event with them and started learning Qigong and got to get some acupuncture work done and really just learn about diet and balance. And for anybody out there who knows my life, I'm always jumping from point A to point B. And in fact, I think Dr. Dow always makes fun of me when I come in. Where are you going? Where did you come back from? And the only reason I can be as engaged and busy in my life as I am is because I take good care of my body and my health, and I find balance thanks to great teachers like Dr. Dow. So it has been an absolute pleasure and delight to have you on the show today. And next week, tune in. I am actually having a couple of millennials who are golf professionals turned realtors on the show, talking about what it's like to find your career path, especially as a millennial, when a lot of the people out there have a story about how millennials are and that they're not hardworking, and really breaking through those barriers in their careers. And I'm also excited to announce that I just confirmed with Liz Ryan's publicist top HR consultant and expert, very famous contributor with LinkedIn and Forbes, among other places, and she'll be joining me on the show on January 30th next year. So if you ever miss the show, you can always find us on iTunes at Get Yourself the Job on iTunes, or of course, find it on the archive of latalkradio.com. So thank you so much, Dr. Dow. It's been such a delight and pleasure to have you here today.
It's my honor to be here. Thank you so much.
And thank you to all of our listeners tuning in, and happy and safe holidays to everybody out there.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.